Well, good morning out there. This is September 8th, I guess it is. And I'm glad because I don't want it to go any faster now, a little bit. It's supposed to cool off this week, so we're fine. I'm not doing the video this week, this morning, folks, because my office is still too hot and stuffy. And so I'm in a much cooler position, or whatever you might want to call it. But let's just get this thing started here this morning. This is... Let's turn to Genesis. A lot of material this morning. We've done a couple sermons now in the last, probably 2 or 3 months ago, I think we did a couple series or a couple sermons. And the subject this morning is, what has happened to today's woman? And this is there's an explanation for what's going on. And I don't want this to sound like everybody that says I hate women kind of a sermon. And why pick on the women but not the men? Well, you'll see why here and why this is what it's going to be. But what is going on? What has happened to the woman today? This is it's a tough subject, really. Let me check something here real quick. Like, I don't think that anybody hates Paul's teachings any more than a woman. And they ought to be the ones that ought to be the most excited about it, really. If they knew what the risen Savior has done for the Christian woman. I've experienced deep, intense hatred towards the stuff that I have preached, mostly from women. Not the Bible scholars out there. They just flash their brains and their history and their Greek and stuff. And they get mad, but nothing like a lady. It just gets really torqued when we talk about Paul or rightly dividing a King James Bible. It's an amazing thing. The modern Christian woman, who was supposed to be full of love and willingness and led by the Holy Spirit and the whole spiel, most definitely hates what I'm going to talk about this morning, probably more than anybody else. And we're going to talk about it tonight, because I'm not going to be able to cover all the verses. I'm not going to try to shortchange this thing, because I want us to understand what's happening and how a Paul-following woman, which is nothing but a Christian. I mean, that's the definition of a Christian. It's somebody who's saved by faith, and they were introduced to the risen Savior by Paul, and through a King James Bible, they got the gospel of their salvation, were able to have a circumcision up. It's just a Christian. And then they follow Paul's teachings as a Christian. That's all it is just being a Christian. But just a little review here. But when the Great Commission came along and all the ecumenical stuff, Paul was just flat kicked out of Christianity. In order for us to show people the Paul stuff, as I call it, you've got to actually knock them out of the Gospels. You've got to knock them out of Peter and James and John and those guys. And you've just got to knock them in the head and say something like, Paul only. When it makes total sense to just read your Bible, you go from Jesus to the Jews and Jesus to Paul to the Gentiles. Why would you want to go back to Jesus? It just makes too much sense. But there's something going on over these years. We know it's a conspiracy against Paul in Acts. They hated Paul. They weren't going to ever eat again and do anything until they got rid of Paul. Well, they've been trying to get rid of Paul still. And as I wonder sometimes if I really want to kind of just let this stuff go and let somebody else take the realm or whatever, I see some pictures of some old musicians or old stars or whatever that I knew as a younger person. And I see how they are at their dying years. They've got to be pretty frustrated that all they pretty much did through all their life was they play a bunch of guitar licks, you know, and they just were really great on the guitar. And they're going to die being a good guitarist or a good entertainer or a good movie star that did a bunch of dumb movies that have no eternal value to it whatsoever. And I look at how they aged and the whole thing. I just remind myself, you know, I want to be able to go out knowing that I stood up for the risen Savior. I stood up for a King James Bible. I stood up for Paul only. And I did the best that I could with whatever lack of skills I have as a speaker. And didn't make it in the pulpit because this subject is too controversial. Just to keep this stuff going as best as I can, as often as I can, and over this world, scattered Christians that it is, and just keep it going until I have to quit going. So if I quit thinking I want to do something that would be enjoyable to people and interesting to people and encouraging to people, I just want to speak the truth about subjects that pop up in my mind and just keep doing that. So, well, that's how I want to go out. So I guess that's what we're going to do. I got a couple emails the last couple days about something that makes me want to talk about that. So I probably won't be able to do that tonight because this will take too long, especially as I'm rambling on now. But if not, I got something coming up that's just blindness. We're dealing with blindness, and the people are talking like they're not blind. And so, but they're convinced that what they're talking about is something they can see, and they cannot see. So, let's get started. We're in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at what is happening, what has happened, or what happens to a woman, and more often than not, a Christian woman. Because we know the worldly women are doing what the feminists and what the government and what the social mores for the time do. And we know why they're getting excited. But this kind of reaches out to them too. Without a doubt, they'll fit this pattern. But they don't get mad about it. They just walk away and think you're just some guy that hates women, you know. It's that Christian woman, that modern Christian woman, Christian with quotes around it, who actually gets angry and does some really mean, hateful things in response back to this kind of thing. So, what has happened? We're in Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to do a lot of groundwork laying before we get to the conclusion. And the conclusion is very simple. And it really isn't the woman's fault. And that's the thing that we're going to see that, well, we'll just see where this thing goes. I know we won't get it done this morning. I'll try, because I know some of you can't come back or won't come back or whatever. So let's get started here. We're going to go back to Eve, and then we're going to look at some, like I say, lay some groundwork here through the Eve days and the Old Testament days and the Gospels and the Old Testament law and stuff like that. Then we're going to jump into the Paul territory, and we're going to see what's going on. Paul nails it for us pretty easily. So if we go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, and the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, where and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So there it's mentioned that there's more than just, you know, you've got to get some of the trees there of importance. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same that is compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is which goeth towards east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Now, just a quick sidelight comment here. This is not some fantastical little storyland story. This is real. This is on earth. This is took place, you know, it's here. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Okay, so there's his job. Okay? Got to keep the garden. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, notice he commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, and shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Okay? Notice a couple things. God was commanded to the man, and he told him that if he eats the wrong thing, he's going to die. So, we go to Genesis chapter 3, and we go to verse 18. We're still 2:18, I'm sorry. Misprinted my notes, didn't think that sounded right. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him." It is never help meet. She is a help meet for him, meaning she's capable of doing what she needs to do. She's capable. She's meet, M-E-E-T. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Okay? Brought her unto the man, underline. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and of flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Okay? Now, already, some ladies that are listening to this, not now, I'm sure, but in some places, if they get this far, they're starting to steam because they're hearing something they don't like. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And Mark just recently did a sermon about this. I see somebody saying something here. Let's see if the sound is still working. Okay. Well, nobody said anything. Good morning, Sam, and good to have you there. "And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the said, already... He's tweaking with her. "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Okay, so now the woman is not telling the truth here. Either she didn't hear it correctly from Adam, because Adam, God told it to Adam, not to her. And, or, she's just trying to make it harder. She's adding more holiness to the situation, or whatever you want to call it. "And the serpent said unto the woman," did not say it unto the man, he said it unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Well, notice, first of all, I will say that in a minute. Notice that he says, "Ye shall be as gods." Now, if we go back to verse, let's see if I can find that thing here. Can't find it. Thought I had there. Okay, so he's wrong about ye as gods. Sound like Mormons. "You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Okay. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, see, it looks good to eat, it looks very pleasant to the eyes, makes them wise, it's got good taste to it, they like looking at it, and it makes them wise. "She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her," who was there, and he did eat. Way to go, Adam. And we know the rest of the story right here. The eyes of them were both were opened, etc., etc. We go down to where God said unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? Verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. Now, I like that. As just a sidelight again. Verse 8, I shouldn't have skipped that. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Who is he talking with? I always ask that question. He was talking with himself. He's 3-1. Anyway, and he said, who told you that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? We know God knew he did. Now, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Adam was correct. He was correct. She's the one that gave it to him. 1 Timothy 2:14. Just real quick like here. 1 Timothy 2:14. We're setting up a foundational base here to show you what's happening and what has happened to women today, and you might be a little surprised. 1 Timothy 2:14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So Adam was not deceived. Even though he was dis-eved, he was not deceived. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from that simplicity that is in Christ. So we know that Eve was duped. She was beguiled by his subtlety. She fell for this guy. She fell for this serpent. Even though Adam was there, she still went with what the devil told her. Okay? And she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So she knew eventually she had blown the whole deal. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And for poor old Eve, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, which we know what this all means here, and shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We talk about that, but this isn't what this sermon's about. Interesting stuff there, though. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Then he says unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now there's a lot of stuff in there. I mean, we're looking at the women thing. I mean, they've got this sorrow of bringing forth children. I've seen it. It's like, boy, that is just some curse. And when they're not having children, there's still junk that goes on. It's all part of that whole concept. What a curse! But they try everything they can, you know, not to let that take place. I mean, we got the shots, you got the pills, you got the whole spiel that, and I can understand why you're trying to do that, but you just can't get away from it. And thy desire shall be to thy husband. Boy, they just hate that. That is part of their curse. We are, you've heard me say this before, we are part of their curse. The fact that we are supposed to rule over them, that's their curse. So all of these years, it's been their goal to get rid of this curse stuff. Same thing with man. We've got weed killer, we've got fertilizer, we've got all sorts of stuff. We've got tractors that are so big now that they can, you know, quadruple the size of the fields they plow, which is why we here in North Dakota, they say that this is why schools are getting smaller and smaller, because the farms are getting bigger and bigger, so there's less farm families out there, so the schools are running out of kids. That makes sense. In the sweat of thy face, we've got air conditioning, the whole spiel, you know. We're doing everything we can to fight this curse that still exists. Okay, so that's the Eve story there. Okay, and there's a lot in that story. But it was summarized, God told it to man, and Eve was the one that was subtly duped into following the serpent. He lied. She didn't even know the truth. Said she couldn't touch the stuff. God never told that to Adam. So there's something lost in the translation here. So all this takes place, and then God comes and puts the curse on everybody, and that's the way things are. Now, let's go to the other end. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's go to the tribulation side. The other side of history here. Although it's not history yet. It's going to be, but it's not yet. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're just looking at the subject of women. I'm going to show you what has happened. Like I said, it's going to be somewhat of a surprise answer. Not what you probably think it will be. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So during the tribulation, you've got to put up with your husband. You've got to live with him. You've got to deal with it. And however you stand up and be good Christian woman that based on the tribulational laws, et cetera, you got to stay there and put up with it, because maybe you can win him by your lifestyle. Conversation, which is what people say today. Ladies, that is not what Paul teaches. We'll skip that for now. But that's abuse centers, and they go after this stuff because Christians pull this junk out of their hat to make their wives stay there so they can beat on them and demand all this kind of stuff. And the wives stay there so maybe they can win the conversation by their daily holy living with their husbands. I don't see that ever happening. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid of any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, you will hear this taught to marriage issues. This is where they go. You go to 1 Peter. It says right here, it pleases God, lady, if you stay there and get beat, get ridiculed, be told to wear this, be told to be immodest, be told that they don't like this, and be told to do this, because I'm the husband, I'm the man here. And you're just supposed to crawl around with your little head bowed, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. You know, and he's your Lord, and whatever goes on, he will share the rewards with you. And he's got to remember that if you two don't get along, his prayers are being hindered, and blah, 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 blah. That's not the case. This is tribulation. This is not today. But you see where we've gone. It's still there. All the stuff that God put on Eve is still there at the time of the tribulation. Did anything happen between here and there? Well, let's go back to Leviticus. Let's go back to the left side again. Let's go to Leviticus. You know what we're going to do. We're going to slowly end up in Paul's books. We're going to go here. Let's go to Leviticus 17. I'm sorry, Leviticus 18, verse 17. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take their son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. You go up to 16, you go up to 15, you go up to 14. Talks about family nakedness here. And we got families all over this country, hillbillies or whatever, uncivilized, if you want to call it that way, which you probably should be. Because a lot of modesty in America is a cultural thing based on biblical principle, but it's still a cultural thing. So people that bop around in their jammies and robes and, in a lot of cases, nothings or half nothings, that's not, God doesn't like that, never has. And even though he still doesn't like it, he hasn't changed his thoughts, as we could say. He's just made it. He paid for the law and all that, you know, that whole thing. But it's still wrong. It is still wrong, that kind of a thing. And I'm sure we're going to this thing. Let's go to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. Verse 26. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. My only comments are there's a bunch of women in the kitchen. Let's go to 33. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30. Where did I see 33? Oh, wait, no, that's the bottom of the page. Oof. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31. Now, don't make any conclusion. I'm going to be the wish you should be home doing dishes kind of thing. Just wait and see where I'm going to go with this thing. We're looking at Deuteronomy 31:12. So turn in your pages or type into your iPod, iPad, tablet, tabloat, computer, whatever. Deuteronomy 31:12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is in within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and to observe to do all the words of this law. And my comment there is, he brought the women in still. They can hear this stuff. They need to hear this stuff. Not a problem. Let's go to Psalm 45. Now we get into some pretty tough statements here. Psalm 45. And again, I'm just laying a framework, trying to hold my opinionation behind. Psalm 45, verse 9. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. There's that phrase, honorable women. Okay, just remember the phrase, honorable women. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 14. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Let's go to Psalm. Stay in the same chapter there. Let's go to Psalm 23, over one chapter, verse 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. So there are strange women, or there are honorable women. Okay. Now we go to Psalm 31, or Proverbs 31, you know, the great virtuous woman chapter. 31, verse 3. Now, it's just an interesting observation here that all the Christian women, if they're so far so-called serious, they want to be the Proverbs 31 woman, which for some reason allows them to take over the house, take over the jobs, take over the leadership of the home, take over the job market so men can't work anywhere and make extra money. And now listen, I realize there's extenuating circumstances. I'm not going after that. Just we're talking about the general direction here is what has happened to a woman or to women today, knowing what God did in the garden, knowing what God's going to say to them in the tribulation, knowing what God said to them during the Old Testament law days. Okay, notice in Proverbs 31:3, before all this other great stuff comes along, these women want to be that way over the home. First thing he's told, he says here, the mom tells this guy, give not thy strength unto women. So, even though this is what they are to do to be a virtuous woman, that did not give them the power over him, or the strength over him. There's nothing wrong in Proverbs 31. You just have to be looking at it from a Paul standpoint, you know, and it doesn't mean where it says she considers the field and buys it. That doesn't mean in verse 16 that she's to be a CEO of a company. She works hard. I mean, your Christian wife, which you know Proverbs 31 is not written to them, but this talks about a good worker, a woman, and she's not just sitting around in her spindly little, skinny little, weak little body with her blonde hair coming out of her ears and armpits and all that. She's just this tiny little fragile little thing that she's just this bowl of white sugar that wants to love everybody. It's not what this is. You know, this is still a virtuous woman. But if this is where you stop, then please remember, Bunny Trail here, Romans 2:16, this isn't your judgment stuff. That's the key here. Okay, so enough of that, Bunny Trail. If we go to Song of Solomon, now there's a book about women. Ooh, did my thing light up now? Let's see here, Dakota, what are we saying here? Oh, it's just pile talk junk. Oh, yeah, Mark makes a point. Genesis 5:2 says that they only had one name. God called their name Adam. And now women are calling themselves by their first name and then their own last name, then their husband's last name. Just look on Facebook for that kind of stuff. They say it's to help people remember who you were before you got married. Yeah, baloney. Women don't want to take on the man's name anymore. Anyway, back to the trail here. Song of Solomon. There's the word woman, singular, is not in here. And the reference to women is that she is the fairest among women. She's the fairest among women. Wouldn't that be nice? Your bride, your queen, whatever, is fairest among women. Not that she's fair. Fair and equal. But she's the fairest one of the bunch. And then you see the phrase, my love. And both call each other my love. This is not just one to the other. This is both of them. Call them, refer to themselves as my love. Okay? Now, let's keep going here. I kind of left a couple out accidentally. Let's go back to Psalms and Proverbs for a minute here. We've got to read some verses here that really set the stage for the works and the do's, D-O apostrophe S, of women. Psalm 48:6. Here's an illustration. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain, as of a woman in travail. What an example to compare something to. You've got so much fear and pain, it's like being a woman in travail. Psalm 113, verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children, praise ye the Lord. Proverbs 2:16, to deliver thee from the, there's that strange woman again, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So we know that women are good at flattering with their words. Let me check the list here to see who's all still with us. Yes. And I hope you're listening. Okay. A woman, that strange woman, doesn't mean you don't know her. It's just that she's a strange woman out there, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. To keep thee from the evil woman, Proverbs 6:24, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now, what's this strange woman thing? Well, let's just jump the boat just a little bit here, and we're going into Paul's day and age, where we're finding out that these Christian women, or these worldly women, or these women that give up on Paul, maybe never had Paul's gospel in the first place, never really had the Savior in the first place, could easily, in my estimation, be considered a strange woman. So if that's the case, she will flatter you with her words. Her mouth is smooth. She'll just smooth it right in there, you know. The flattery of the tongue, we're to stay away from, Proverbs 6:24. For by the means of, let's go to Proverbs 6. I've got to read two verses here. Proverbs 6:25. Proverbs 6:25-20. Lust after her beauty, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. 24, got the tongue of a strange woman. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. He in Proverbs 6, verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. It was that serious in the Old Testament days. Proverbs 7, 5, they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flattery for the words. I think I did that one already. Nope, there it is again. No, I didn't. Proverbs 9, 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Proverbs 11:16, a gracious woman retaineth honor. And today that means to a woman, it means a successful woman retaineth her honor. Not successful, a hard-working woman is what they think it is. You know, a roofer retaineth honor. That's what they're thinking today. How'd that happen? What has happened today? What's going on? Proverbs 11:22, a jewel of gold and a swine's snout. So is a fair woman which is without discretion. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, Proverbs 12:4. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. She's like arthritis. Every wise woman, Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Do women realize what happens when they go out and do what they do, dress the way they do, watch what they do at home and go places, what they do in front of their children? Do they realize what it does to the house? The foolish plucketh it down. Here's some good ones. Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Doesn't matter how big your house is, you don't want to be there. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And see, during the church service now, the men are sitting there. They're not moving a muscle. They're not blinking. They're not twitching. Because they know that their wife is hearing some stuff that they really don't want to hear. And they're not going to yell at God. They're just not going to believe any of this stuff. By the time they're done, they're mad at God, according to Paul. But we'll not get into that yet. But the man is scared to death right now. He doesn't dare move. Because how many women want to admit that when they're brawling, he's better off out of the house? And when she's contentious and angry, he's best off in the woods. Proverbs 23:27, for a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop, Proverbs 25:24, than with a brawling woman and in a white house. So get on the roof, go in the forest, do something. Just get out of there. A continual dropping and a very rainy day and contentious woman are alike. And isn't that one of the biggest tortures, there you go. In warfare is to drop water. Continual dropping in a very rainy day. Constantly, and a contentious woman are the same thing. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. It's not me. I didn't do it. I'm not the bad guy here. This is what I was thinking of. Proverbs 30. I do so much better with these sermons Saturday night when I'm putting them all together, but not during the sermon itself. Oh, well. Proverbs 30, verse 21. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear, for a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat, for an odious woman when she is married. And I meant to look that up, but I kind of forget that stuff, so let's see if I can pop it up here. My fault for not doing it ahead of time. O-D-I-O-U-S, odious, hateful, deserving hatred. It expresses something less than detestable and abominable. Offensive to the senses, causing hate, exposed to hatred. That kind of a woman, married one, it disquiets the whole entire earth. Now, there are going to be men that are going to listen to this that are going through a divorce or have gone through a divorce or are not going through a divorce because they're still listening to this, to the oily mouth and the flattering words and blah, but they know they're not doing something right. And you know that the men are becoming very feminine nowadays. And I was reading an article recently about, I think it's BPR, BHR or something like that, that it's got some chemicals in it with soy that causes men to become less men, and there's all sorts of stuff about it. And I noticed this morning that my shaving cream has that chemical in my shaving cream. So here's these big macho men shaving their whiskers and stuff, and they're shaving their face with something that's actually going to make them soften up and queer out eventually. You know, become very feminine. They lose their fight. So just keep in mind here, we're really going after this woman thing. What's going on with this woman today? But you're going to see that man is involved here. And you're going to see how. Because back Adam and Eve, they were together when she did what she did. Yet he went along with it. You go into the tribulation, they're going to be together, and they don't dare get a divorce in the tribulation. You're supposed to stay there and take it. Or you're supposed to keep her. See if you can't teach her. What was it that with Paul? And what happened? What happened through all this stuff here? Let's keep going here. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price as far above rubies? Keep in mind, that's just part of the deal here. Favor is deceitful, verse 30 in Proverbs 31, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now we know that we're talking about fearing the Lord. It's you want to do the right thing, you want to have the right Savior, you want to follow your King James Bible, rightly dividing, you want the truth. Here's one, Ecclesiastes. Listen to this. And I find more bitter than death, more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. I mean, this lady is after you. Her hands as bands. I picture her hands around your neck, shaking you. Why are you saying, why are you doing what you're doing? Don't you love me, blah, 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 blah. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her. But the sinner shall be taken by her. Okay, now, just hang on. Okay, how are we doing for time? Let's start the Paul thing. Let's look to the Paul section now. Because now Christ came... Not yet. We've got to go Matthew 27. We've got to touch the Gospels. Matthew 27, verse 55. Just one couple of quick comments here. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Okay? Mark 15:41, Luke 23:55, Luke 24:22, etc., etc., are comments where women follow Jesus. And that's fine. That's an okay thing during the Gospels like that. Say the women shouldn't follow Jesus today? Well, yes, they should, but they should follow the risen Jesus as easily as they followed the earthly Jesus. Luke 24:24. I think that I can't read my writing. Yes. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. Congratulations, women, you were right. You were right during that thing, and the men found out you were right. Good. That's okay. Then, now, let's look to the Paul stuff. See, if a woman wants to be a Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman, there's your description. You do work hard around the house. You do take care of your kids. You do keep the candle burning. You do all that stuff. You just do it at home. And that doesn't mean you can have a home business on a computer making gazillion dollars selling what your kids are making or selling your daughter's CDs or something like that. You know. But Paul, the risen Savior, to me, is frosting for a woman. And yet they hate it. They despise it. Being that strong Christian woman within the home. And I realize this. I realize many men have dumped you. Many men have dumped you. Many men have dumped their wives because the wives are so horrible. Or men, the man was so horrible and you had to get out of there. Or somebody died. Or the job disappeared. I realize all that. We're still in a cursed world. And a lot of ladies, you just have to work or you won't survive. And I think part of that's the fault of the church, the local church, the Christian, the brethren, because they're supposed to take care of you. I tried to take care of people when I was a pastor of the church. I said, people, we need to spend money for local people here in our church family that are having a hard time. And they did it for a while, but it didn't last because of things that people started yapping about. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So what goes on? Something can change a woman, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So now, a woman who's supposedly saved, God makes them into something different now. And he goes about and tells the women what it is he would have them to do, and that's what he's changed them to do. But it doesn't take long, and most of them hate it. Now, I don't believe the ladies on this website hate it. I know some of you are in a situation, you can't help the situation you're in. But you cannot give up. You cannot give in to this thing because this is how God wants you to be. You were God's workmanship. Now you are. And you are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And he tells you what those good works should be. And that's your job now. You cannot quit. You cannot give it up. Okay, here's the problem. Most of them don't want it. Why is that? What is going on? Okay, there's your foundational laying. We laid the foundation. We laid the basics for this whole thing. What is going on that's making today's so-called Christian woman be what they are? Let's quit. We got a couple minutes here. Let's go to Acts 13:50. I hate to quit because some of you aren't going to come back tonight. And I know you won't listen to it later because you're too busy. Acts 13:50. Tell your boss, I got to hear this tonight. Tell somebody that's keeping you from coming, sorry, I got to be here tonight. This is about you. This is about you and God. Acts 13:50. You know this verse. I say it all the time. But the Jews stirred up the devout, there it is, devout and honorable Old Testament women. See, that's what this is. Remember, that came about in Psalms, and that shows up in the Old Testament. Devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. So, these honorable and devout women, they do not like Paul's stuff. They are easily stirred by the leaders, by other people, the other pastors, the other preachers, the other teachers, the books they read, all this kind of stuff. They get stirred. And they not only just not believe it, they get angry, and they try to run you out. What brought this about? What has happened? Look at Acts 17:4. Acts 17:4. And some of them believed. Really? Sure. And consorted with Paul and Silas, and one of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. There were a lot of women that accepted what Paul had to say. Yay. Amen. Good. Great. Fantastic. And you are them. Look at verse 12. Therefore many of them believed, all of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Notice, he has to point out, he points out in the scriptures, that yes, people loved what Paul said, and he says, and yes, even the women liked it. He makes a point to remind us, this isn't just the men, he says, and of the chief women. Now, some of the big muckety-muckets got into it. Also, many of them believed, also of honorable women. He doesn't just say, yes, many people believed. He says, many believed, but so did some of the women. Like, that's kind of unique. You know what I'm saying? Man, some of the ladies even got a hold of this thing. So what is possible? You ladies that are listening to this, that are you love Paul, you love to read Timothy and Titus, and you do everything you can to do the stuff that Paul talks about, you were created to do that. You are now his workmanship to do that. What's going on? What is happening? Why do these people, these women, quit or give up? I know, maybe they never got it in the first place and they're fakers. I know, but what about those that weren't? What causes us to give up? Us. What causes them to give up? What is going on? And it's happening more and more and more, and I'll bet you anything, you are even tempted with it yourself because you just run out of stuff. Why do you run out of stuff? What is going on? What is happening? Why do you keep asking that question? Because we're going to talk about that tonight. And I so wish that you ladies would be back here tonight to help you understand either why you're not under this temptation, what have you done that has kept you from having that temptation, and those of you that are under this temptation or having a struggle, what's going on? Why is it happening? I mean, we read what God said to the woman in the beginning. We read what God says to the women at the end. We read what God said to the women during the Old Testament in the hard working days, where the severity of God would get them if they didn't do that stuff. We read what women did for Jesus. Why do they not continue to do it for the risen Jesus? And if they get the risen Jesus through Paul, why do they finally just bag it? What in the world is going on? I'll tell you tonight.